Take it away, Remzo.
Shazam! Welcome back to Second Print Comics, where we're bringing you our mix of movies, comics, television, games, everything fun under the sun
that Why? Has
been destroyed by the deterioration of adulthood.
See? Pop. SPC pop.
Pop. Pop!
Oh, I don't know, Remzo. I'm not fully recovered yet. Now, Remzo was one of a good number of attendees. It wasn't that huge. It was a fairly small wedding. Remzo was one of the elites that were able to attend my formal wedding.
The black card members.
Yes. And it was, I'm still recovering myself. I was there for 5 days in Las Vegas.
So. Your eyes don't seem as bloodshot. That's positive. So the recovery is happening.
That is positive. You know, and in typical fashion, you know, my wife and I, I'll tell the very briefest version is that we got legally married in 2020, but it was just us and Elvis in the middle of the thing. let's just call it the thing. To be safe. Yeah. So this was the version where our family and friends got to come and hear our vows and all this wonderful stuff. So yeah, I was very glad we did it. It was an amazing time. But Remzo, I don't know about you. I do know about you. I'm a 42-year-old man. Even a regular night out on the town or something, or even dinner where I have a couple drinks too many, which is like three, because one is like two is too many now. That takes me like a day to recover. So imagine extrapolating that to five nights in Las Vegas and a red eye flight. I've been back almost a week now, but it still feels like I've been back a day.
I was feeling pretty good because for people that follow me on Twitter and
you're a young man, Remzo. That's why.
Well,
however you want. It's because you're a young man.
Yeah, I'm young, but I'm also kind of fat. So during that trip, I was really good.
You look like you've lost a few pounds
because I lost 20 because I tried to fit into that
just
suit
for my wedding,
just for your wedding,
nice.
And for that and for like other things. Yeah, no, I was feeling like Conor McGregor in that suit. But I've been trying to progressively. You know, when you're in Vegas, right? You know, I've been trying to continually lose weight so I can start competing in jiu-jitsu tournaments. And I have a 5K coming up at the end of the month I want to lose some weight for so my knees don't kill me. But
contribute to the Remzo Gets Fit Fund, head over to patreon.com/secondprintpod, where we give you all sorts of amazing bonus content, including early access to many of these episodes. You might even be watching this episode of SPC Pop live if you are a patron of this program. What does this have to do with Remzo getting fit? Who knows?
Maybe personal trainers ain't cheap.
That's
personal
right.
Trainers ain't cheap. But no, I lost 4 pounds that weekend because we walked everywhere.
Wow. Well, yeah, that'll happen too.
So
it's just a matter of if your consumption outweighs how much you walk around. Now, we were pretty much in a centrally located place in our hotel and didn't do a ton of walking.
Yeah, well, it was my wife's first time visiting Vegas. It's my second time this year. So we walked everywhere. I mean, just walking around the Venetians several times was about 4 miles the first day. And I only drank water. I didn't drink at all, and I ate high protein stuff, which is hard when you're in Vegas and everything is, you know, full of carbs and it's deep fried. So I got back and then I saw myself on the scale and I was like, damn, I dropped 4 pounds going on a trip. And then I had some pasta and some rice and some other, you
know, I got to make up for this. Hold on.
Yeah. So immediately I weighed myself this morning for the first time in a week and I'm like, oh, some of it's back, not all of it, but you know, some of it's back. And now I have to punish myself tomorrow in the sauna to try and compensate for that. So with all that said, it can happen, folks.
Well, to help, Remzo and I both buy saunas for our personal homes, which I actually found out. I didn't know. I thought that you had to be rich to have a sauna.
I don't know if you could see this, Mark, but outside it is like, well, maybe fans can see it too. Right now it is cold and rainy and a blistering 46 degrees. I need a sauna.
That was a nice camera move, Remzo. I'm impressed by your video.
I try.
But yeah, I know. Apparently you can get a sauna in your house for like $200. It's like a little plastic thing and you just like sit in it, but I'm considering it.
Is it the one that like boxers and UFC fighters like sit in where their head is sticking out?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's good.
It feels strange to me. I don't know. I kind of like the camaraderie of chilling half naked in a sauna with a bunch of dudes I don't know. But
yeah, you know, it's part of the fun that comes with it.
It's part of becoming a man at the end of the day. Well, speaking of becoming a man, how am I going to transition this? We'll see. An upcoming film from DC is going to feature a character that is in somewhat of a coming of age role. And will he become a man on screen before us? That is the film Blue Beetle, starring, do you know his real name, Remzo? You know stuff.
I don't know how to fucking pronounce this guy's name. I know him as Cobra Kai Kid.
Yeah, he's the kid from Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai Kid's a good actor. I like Cobra Kai Kid. I'm not making fun of him. I just can't pronounce his name to save my life.
I'm sure I could pronounce it. I just don't know it. Cobra Kai. Yeah, we don't prepare for shows. I hope you you know that. Anyway, name is, oh, I don't know how to pronounce either. Wow. I'm going to say
his name is indigenous as fuck.
Jolo Maradueña. That's how I'm going to say you pronounce it. But I don't think you're supposed to say it's Cholo.
Call him Cholo.
It's not. I mean, that's kind of how you would pronounce it, actually. But anyway, this kid is in a movie called Blue Beetle. Now, look, I think here's the thing, Remzo. We try to walk this line here because we want to be brutally honest, I think, with our fans all the time. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to glorify things or make things seem great when they really are crappy. But at the same time, I think we always try to have a positive view, and we want to see hope where there is hope. And there's been a lot of, especially I think with Marvel's Phase 4, a lot of disappointment in a lot of comic book films lately. But you know, I love comics at the end, and if we can get a good comic related movie in the end, I'll be happy, and I can toss a lot of stuff to the side. And I think there's an opportunity that sometimes presents itself with more obscure characters that there's not a lot of baggage there, and there's not a lot of expectation there, not just from the fans, but there's probably not a ton of expectation even necessarily on the writers or the producers of what they're going to put out. So that has the potential for complete disaster, but also has the potential for potential, you know, a little diamond in the rough, as you might say. So this is all a way to say I think we're both pretty open-minded about what this movie could be. I have no hope that it's going to be great, but it could be okay. It could be fun. Let's put it that way. That's the upside, I would say. It could be a harmless, fun film. What do you think, Rams?
I like the character of Blue Beetle. I think maybe I should go ahead and start with that.
I'm a Ted Kord guy. You're probably a Jaime Reyes guy.
Well, I mean, who is Ted Kord if not a B-list Batman? He's not even cool enough to be Night Owl.
Ted Kord's not even the original Blue Beetle. He's like the second.
No, he's like the second Blue Beetle. But yeah, no, I did kind of grow up with Jaime Reyes, because by the time I started jumping into comics and collecting avidly, it was after Infinite Crisis in the early 2000s. That's where he was initially introduced. It was after the death of Ted Kord and during that Crisis event. So coming out of that, when you have the Geoff Johns Justice League and Just Society and everything, as you've been covering over at the Case on the Runs. That's when I started
Case of the Runs.
Case of the Runs. You know, that was when I kind of, you know, got into it. And I thought it was interesting. You know, you have he kind of followed the kind of a Spider-Man type of vibe very early on. But, you know, he was a Latino teenager who was new, and he was in the world of Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. So I thought that was interesting. What really did it for me was, and this is definitely during your comic book dark period, but are you aware of the cartoon Batman Brave and the Bold?
I'm not aware of the cartoon, no.
So Batman Brave and the Bold was a Cartoon Network cartoon series where every week Batman was teaming up with a different DC comic superhero. But and it was kind of, he was kind of basically his sidekick. Blue Beetle was basically a mainstay for the first several seasons of Batman Brave and the Bold. And it was really cool. They actually, you know, kind of grew the character in the cartoon during a period where the Blue Beetle comic itself hadn't really kicked off yet. So a lot of the traits from the cartoon actually kind of sifted into the comic book, which I also thought was cool. But, you know, I also got to play him in Injustice 2 in high school, and I thought he was badass. So he's one of those characters where I've got more positive feelings than anything. My only criticism of the trailer is I think it kind of looks like a direct-to-TV movie, like a really good direct-to-TV movie. And I don't know if it's because of how they structure it. I don't know if it's just because of the way the trailer was kind of laid out. It doesn't feel like, you know, a high stakes, high production film. And maybe it's just me being, you know, a snob at this point. Well, I know we're going to watch the trailer in a second. But of all the characters, I thought, you know who really needs their own movie? Blue Beetle wasn't really one of them. He's what I've described as in the past as somebody who's a good supporting character. But on his own, I just don't know if he's been able to carry that. And I mean, that's not just a me opinion. His first series only lasts about 30 issues. He had a reboot during the New 52 era, and that lasted less than a year. And that reboot was not that good. I didn't even collect that one. I got the first issue, and I was like, I'm out. And then they brought him back into, you know, like Young Justice and Teen Titans. And there he was cool because he was around other heroes and stuff. But, you know, in a world where you're not going to show Batman, Superman, anybody yet, we have no clue if they're ever going to introduce the Titans into James Gunn's, DC universe. I just don't really see why Blue Beetle was somebody that they decided to keep, especially when they were scrapping so many other potential projects. So I just, you know, I don't hate the character. And I, you know, I like the kid. I think the kid is a good casting for the character of Jaime. But I'm not really excited.
Well, I think this one was already in the works. I mean, it was already almost done, I think, when they brought James Gunn
in. This is a Walter Hamada leftover, I think.
But suppose it's a rumor from Deadline that supposedly James Gunn and Peter Safran loved the movie so much that they could have it was done in such a way that it could be just a random movie that doesn't connect to anything, or they could decide to fold it in. And it's just a rumor, but supposedly they enjoyed the film enough that they are going to transition it into the DCEU, which in a way potentially makes Blue Beetle the first movie of James Gunn's DCU if it ends up being folded in. So we'll see. But that being said, let's save our thoughts for what we're going to do right now with technology. We're going to just watch this trailer live and do some commentary and see how it goes. I watched it once. That's it. So I don't even really remember it, to be honest. So what do you say, Remzo? You ready for technology?
Let's do it.
Let's see
technology.
Excuse me, Mr. Reyes. You finished scraping the gum off that lounger or what?
Whoa. Did you giggle at the little opening there?
No.
They actually got me the first time I saw it in the theater, and I was like, oh, they're going to make him a rich guy. And then you realize he's just wiping the deck. So I got enough of a giggle out of me. Maybe I'm easier to please because I'm an old man. So like
I'm of the Nickelodeon era, and the whole I'm starting off an episode thinking I'm rich, and then I'm brought back to reality and I'm working at a movie theater or something like that. That's a common Nickelodeon motif, which I think kind of soured me from the very beginning.
So they're just doing Nickelodeon humor. You're like, I've seen this shit before.
Well, it's weird because it's like he's not a millennial, so he wouldn't have grown up with that era. But I looked at some of the screenwriters, and you've got some former Disney folks. You got a lot of Warner Brothers folks, some Nickelodeon folks. So you have folks that worked in like kids television, which if that's the audience, then that's fine. But, you know, when I saw that, I got flashbacks like Drake and Josh and other shows that I grew up with. And I'm like,
you're naming things that I have no idea what they are.
You don't need to worry about Drake Bell and Josh Peck anymore.
All right. I never was. Let's see.
No.
Palmera City.
So out of reach.
You always land on your feet, bro.
He always lands on his feet. So just like a beetle.
They don't get out much.
I just want to rock.
Jenny? He just wants to rock, Renzo.
God, that's no.
A lot of purple. What do you think of this purple motif at Cord Industries? Shouldn't it be more blue and like the blue beetle color? I mean, he's the Blue Beetle, but I see purple everywhere. What's going on here?
You know, maybe he doesn't want people to associate Ted Cord with blue if he's trying to, you know, stay hidden.
Okay. I'll add a little red and make it purple.
But open it. You went in to get a shops and all you brought back was a hamburger.
Okay. I don't think it's a burger.
Why don't we pause at this moment because I am curious how the movie does this. Why don't we do a quick little origin of the Blue Beetle? We're going to pause in the middle of this live watch to take you back. This is actually, I pulled this up earlier. This is from ArsTechnica.com because we did briefly mention the history of the Blue Beetle. So I'm curious which origin story they kind of grab from. I didn't know this because I always knew that the Blue Beetle was a character that they got when they acquired Charlton Comics, but actually the original Blue Beetle did first appear in DC Comics back in 1939. This is almost a totally different character. He was a police officer who gained his superpowers by ingesting something called vitamin 2X, which I'm imagining just doubles your strength and speed, giving him a distinct advantage when fighting crime. The character was then rebooted by Charlton in 1964, in which an archaeologist, Dan Garrett, acquired mystical abilities from an ancient scarab. So that Charlton character is sort of the first version of this Blue Beetle that has the scarab and all this weird stuff. And there is a line from that character to Ted Cord, who is Dan Garrett's student, and then to Jaime Reyes.
Yeah, so but that Ted is, Cord, he didn't have powers, did he?
I don't think any. Well, they all have this scarab, and it's the scarab that has the powers. But yeah, Ted Cord has the scarab powers. I believe it's the same exact scarab. And then in the 2006 version with the retcon, that's when they bring in Jaime Reyes, and that's when they add this element that it's actually an alien thing. But that's more of a retcon. It was originally this just like
ancient because Egypt. you had post Crisis on Infinite Earths that kind of changed that. So the power aspect was removed, and that's when Ted Kord was more of a Batman light character. And then when it came to,
I think the Scarab became more of like a technology that he worked on kind of thing.
Yeah. And then when it came to Jaime, it was alien tech. And it's alien tech in both of his reboots. In the Infinite Crisis retcon, it was from another universe, another planet, that type of thing. So that way they could tie it into the whole multiverse aspect. And then when it came to New 52, it was kind of like Soldier Zero. Remember Soldier Zero? That we covered?
That's the Stan Lee thing, right?
Yeah, it was that. It was kind of like Soldier Zero, where it was basically a weapon of war that could be like, you know, a one-man army type of deal that got, that accidentally crash-landed on Earth fighting space bad guys and shit, and Jaime happened to be the one to bond with it.
It does seem like they're doing some kind of merging of those two things here, because as we'll see in the trailer, there is definitely that sort of alien aspect of it, but he is, I believe... When this whole thing goes down here and he gets this little box that turns out to have the Scarab in it, he's going to like a job or an internship at Kord Industries. I don't know if it's totally clear here, but there's other, you know, screenshots where you can tell that's what it is. So
it's really weird because he had two significant retcons within a decade. So for them to try and mix it in the movie seems like it makes the most sense.
All right. Well, let's see.
You haven't looked.
What the hell is that?
It's a Scarab.
It's a beetle. How did you get it to do that?
I think he likes me.
He's got a wacky family, Remzo. A staple of these movies.
Jaime. This ain't what you want.
This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. By the way, if you're bored right now, then you should watch the video version on YouTube. Alright, he is fully emboldened. So, now you can see here, like, it's pretty clear that this is a technology, a sort of a technological thing that takes him over. Like you said, kind of like Soldier Zero, and it turns young, unassuming Jaime Reyes into the Blue Beetle. So I feel like this is always the case with trailers. I feel like I've now seen the movie. I feel like I've seen the first third of the movie already.
Yeah, like there's very little to wonder what's happening. They kind of spill it right there. I got to say, that scene, the way that they have it choreographed with everyone freaking out, is pretty funny. The one thing that caught me is, like, that's George Lopez.
Is that George Lopez?
That's George Lopez.
Or is it a George Lopez look like?
No, that's him.
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
They will eventually. Now he's all the way in space. You know, it's got to be a weird
re-entry
feeling.
Systems ready.
All right, so they're not flat earthers. They're globe earth. This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. Unless it's a fisheye lens, Remzo.
What is going on? I just want to run.
It's called the Scarab. It's some kind of world-destroying weapon.
It's some kind of world-destroying weapon, we hear. Okay.
Okay, so they're really going with...
They're really giving me the whole movie in this trailer.
Yeah.
There's movies there where I'll see the trailer, and while I'm like, oh, this looks good, by the end of the trailer, I'm like, I feel like I've seen it though now. So
haven't seen Shazam 2. And when I read the wiki page about it, basically all my assumptions were essentially true.
Let me guess. He beats the villain.
He beats the villain.
That's surprising, actually, coming from you, who does revere the original Shazam movie as a holiday film. So,
you know, as if I'm going to pay $15-$17 bucks to go see a movie, like, I'm going to watch it when it comes on HBO Max.
It shows how far you've come since Wonder Woman 1984. I think it was a thirst thing at the time, because when you saw that three times in the theater, but that was when we had been deprived of like superhero movies in theaters for a while.
I was in a manic state. You got to forgive me, because the last movie I saw in theaters before the lockdowns was Bloodshot.
You were like a single man who hadn't gotten any action in like two full years. So you're pretty much going to take whatever you could get.
Man, it was Gal Gadot too. Like, who's gonna complain about that?
Yeah, a lot of surface level things. All right, let's continue. Let's see how much more of this movie they spell out for me.
It's designed to protect its host. This ain't what you
want. Sometimes it does what you want, and sometimes it doesn't.
there's a scene where he's cutting a bus in half, and it's played, you know, he's kind of standing there and the bus is sort of melting around him, and it's played comedically, but imagine in real life this would be absolutely horrifying and probably dismember a number of people.
This is just like the scene from Shang-Chi with the bus.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I actually did like that scene because it was actually, and when it was played out, it was done. Yeah, it was probably like one of the more fun parts of the movie.
I like the costume, but the one difference is that in the comics and even the cartoon, they give him a mouth, whereas here they gave him like a full Deadpool mask. Which, I mean, I'm not criticizing, but I mean, you know, his facial characteristics and everything in the comics and the cartoon is what adds to the humor and stuff like it. So for them to kind of remove it, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, it's not the biggest detail, but for people that know the character, like, it's just kind of part of his gimmick.
You want to know why, Remzo?
Because it looked freaky.
Maybe. Well, that might be a side benefit, because you know how this stuff works now. All these actors, they got to get their screen time. And if it's just a voiceover, they don't get paid as much as the screen time. So they have it in their contract. So then they work things where every time he's going to talk, he's going to take that thing off anyway. He's going to
fucking hell.
Drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert Downey Jr.
Did he do that?
Oh, it's his fault.
Well, I don't blame him really for the money grab, but or they could have, done it more reasonably would be to say, we're going to pay you for the screen time, even if your character is in the mask. That would solve the issue.
Yeah, so, that would just be so much better.
Instead of just unnaturally having Ant-Man and his daughter take and Spider-Man just constantly take off their masks every time they want to talk to each other. Absolutely. It actually happened so much, I feel like, in Quantumania that it just took me out of the movie completely. It's like no real life character is going to remove and reapply a mask this many times.
Well, it's like with Spider-Man, even before No Way Home, it's like in every film he was featured in, he spends more time out of his mask than not. And it's like this is a character whose entire like identity is based on him trying to protect his secret identity.
Yeah. And meanwhile, he's like fighting with like news helicopters surrounding him with no mask on.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. But anyway, none of that is the fault of this movie, so we'll continue.
I think I cut a bus in half.
The Scarab chose you.
Scarab chose him, did it?
To me.
Wait, who was that?
Was that Susan Sarandon?
That was Susan Sarandon.
Oh yeah, that's Susan.
I hadn't picked that up the first time.
Hello,
she's the highest paid actress in this movie.
Makes you...
Do you think she's making more than the kid? Than JoLo?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For like probably 20 minutes of screen time?
Probably.
She's not his mom, though. Who was she?
I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll have to tune in to find out, Remzo. Let's keep going. Was that a glimpse of our villain?
Yeah, I don't know who that is. It just came off as like a token Mexican.
The universe has sent you a gift, and you have to figure out what you're going to do with it.
That is your confirmed.
Whatever you can imagine, I can create.
Let's party.
Now, is that part of the original character? I don't think so.
That actually is. And the reason is funny. Like, Jaime is a nerd. Like, he's just like us. He's an absolute nerd. So that sword is actually supposed to be a Gundam sword.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool. Well, maybe that's more of a Jaime Reyes version of things then, because Ted Kord did not have shit like this at all.
No, he didn't. Yeah, it's definitely Jaime.
I was winding down the volume, but there's a little more trailer left, it turns out.
Stuff? Batman's a fascist. I just
want to rap. Oh, they had to toss that line in there, the Batman's a fascist line. Hardcore eye roll. That doesn't bode well. You probably will like it, just like the socialist Ant-Man joke or what have you.
No, because this is different. They're trying to target a character, whereas the socialist Ant-Man joke was just a throwaway. That was done in a funny way, and they didn't include it in the commercial with no context. This just, you know, this is just a thing just to be a thing.
Does this trailer excite you at all?
No.
No.
Okay, well, and
it's your idea to watch it.
Because it's what we do. We watch these things for the people.
It doesn't have me excited, but it has me see what happened, Remzo, in my household. Now, of course, I can go to the movies on my own. I've done that many times in my life, actually. But, you know, I get limited time with my family. So, you know, we tend to try to do some things together, including go to the movies when somebody wants to go to a movie. Even if it's not, we actually have a system now called, like, do you want to go to this movie? And, you know, maybe the answer might be yes. We both want to go. Great. Or it might be like, do you want to go to this movie? It's like, no, but I'll go with complaint. Essentially, like, we're allowed to go to a movie we don't really want to see, but we can do it with a little asterisk. Like, I don't really want to go to this, but I'm just going to go, you know?
That's basically how it is with with me.
My problem is I have abused these. The problem is I've gone to every superhero movie and used this for every superhero movie. So now I've just beaten her down. So now I think I gotta be more selective with at least the movies I try to get her. Like if I really want to go see Blue Beetle, I'm not gonna bother my family with this. I don't want them to start to just, because now it's almost a visceral reaction that if I say superhero movie, she's like, ah. I had to
preface with my wife this weekend. We went to go see a big George Foreman, The Miraculous Story of the Once and Future Heavyweight of the World. And I've dragged my wife to so many like boxing events and pay-per-view and Creed 3 and everything. I asked her, I'm like, listen, I know you're probably sick of watching men beat each other's face. And do you want to watch it? And she said, yeah. And it turned out to be a good movie. But, you know, there have also just been some real flunkers the past like 4 months where I've really had to preface that.
What other movies are coming out this year? Let's rank.
Guardians comes out next. Guardians comes out this week.
What? Doesn't this feel so low key? Like I don't feel like there's any buzz or excitement around Guardians of the Galaxy. I think there's more buzz and excitement. There is for me around not Guardians, but the Flash movie. The Flash movie is like,
yeah,
exciting, at least more, if nothing else, than because Michael Keaton as Batman. But it's, you know, there's been only really positive things that have leaked about it, interestingly enough. So I'm open, as much as we are horrified by Ezra Miller's existence. You know, if I can put that aside, I'm most probably, if I had to look at all the movies coming out this year, I'm most interested in The Flash. I don't know if it'll be the best movie, but it might be. And it's the one that I'm most interested to see what they do with it, because it's what it is now is clearly a different movie than it first was when it first began. When it first came, it was going to kind of just continue the sort of Snyderverse-esque DCEU. But now it's actually being used to reboot that entire universe. So, but with essentially the same underlying plot. So I'm curious to see how that all comes together. They've changed which Batmans are appearing like 7 different times. But luckily we know we're getting Batfleck and we're getting Michael Keaton, and we may even get a third Batman. So I'm most excited about that just because the possibilities are pretty broad.
Yeah, and with Ant-Man, Quantumania, that was the first MCU movie I have not seen on opening night. And I went ahead and was kind of looking at showtimes for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 this week so I could watch it. We could talk about it. I'll go see it. I'll probably go see it Sunday. Because I just...
Is it really this weekend? Nah, that's
it's this weekend, the 5th.
I can't even believe that.
Feels weird.
That is crazy.
Jonathan Majors hasn't even hit his court date yet. And Marvel's still moving strong of their stuff. I mean, it's just like...
This shows how far my own personal excitement for these movies have fallen, because this is a movie that a couple of years ago this was supposed to first come out in what, like 2019? Like, and then it was delayed because they canceled James Gunn and then uncanceled James Gunn. Man, talk about from canceled to an uncancelization
rebound.
Uncancelization rebound, whatever you want to call this. James Gunn going from total cancellation to the head of DC movies. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All with doing nothing. I don't think he ever really said anything. He just did the thing where you just don't respond to it, right?
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah,
but I respect.
Yeah, but I'm gonna see it eventually, probably Sunday, because you know the audience wants to hear us talk about it.
Answer me this: if you could only see one of these.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Movies in the theater for some reason, The Flash or Guardians of the Galaxy, which would it be?
The Flash.
Same. Yeah. And actually, no hesitation in saying that.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's not even a contest.
I feel like I kind of just know what Guardians is going to be. Not to say it won't be good. It probably will be, you know, somewhat on par with the first two. I trust James Gunn to do a pretty good, entertaining Guardians movie. I'm sure I'll probably enjoy it more than, say, Eternals or what have you. But I just feel
that's
like
it's a low bar.
It is
that's
low,
a low bar.
I'm just saying, which actually gives it the potential to really excite me, because it has all the elements of a good movie, but I'm just not excited for it for whatever reason.
Here's the bigger question, though. One, well, it's, I'll split it in two parts. One, do you want to pay a full ticket price to go see this? And two, would you be okay watching it at home 3 or 4 months later?
I feel that I would, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And, I don't want to pay Keaton to watch
Batman,
it.
You know? I want that on the big screen.
I'm seeing that in IMAX.
For sure.
Like, we're going IMAX digital, bitches. Like, big time. I don't even know where there's an IMAX screen near me, but I'm going to find one. Probably have to drive to Chicago for that.
Build one if we have to. Make our own.
Build IMAX. One. And they will come.
So what? We got Guardians 3. We got Flash. We got Blue Beetle. What else is there? The Marvels? That's coming out this year.
The Marvels coming out in the fall. Apparently Aquaman 2 in the Lost Kingdom is still slated for the summer. They're going to release the first trailer, I think, in July. They're going to release it, which is late. They're going to put it out like within a 30-day period of when they're releasing it, because I think that's them hedging their bets. You could tell how a studio feels about their film by when they choose to release the trailer.
Those are the only movies we're getting from Marvel this year. It's Guardians of the Galaxy and the Marvels, which they have already been doing the thing where they come out and defend it ahead of time and call dudes misogynist for like not liking the movie because it stars three chicks of various races and colors and levels of oppression. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun just for everything surrounding that movie, because it just has all the elements to blow up and get to, you know, get a lot of podcasts and YouTube streamers, a lot of views just talking about it.
Yeah, Nerderotic is going to have a fucking heyday.
Yeah, and I'll be there watching because I enjoy all this stuff. So that's the only two movies. So and then we have Blue Beetle and The Flash. And I believe that's our slate for the rest of the year.
Now, Aquaman's also, not this year. Did that get pushed again?
Let me see. DC movies this year. Let's find out. As always, all of our research happens live, my friends.
Be with us, folks, in the moment.
So we got, Shazam already happened, then The Flash, Blue Beetle, August 18th. Okay, now they got it for December 25th, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. They're just squeaking it in. So they've already pushed it back to December.
Yeah, and that's going to be a shit show.
All right, I'm going to rank them care the most to care the least. I'll go the other way. There's five movies here. I'm going to go in reverse order of caring the most versus caring the least. Least, Aquaman and Lost Kingdom, because even they don't want to release this movie.
Agreed.
Like, they're just like, well, it's Jason Momoa and we shot
it. Let it die.
We're not going to backgirl this thing, so we'll put it out, but we don't really want to. Mm-hmm. So that's the vibe I'm getting from there. But I care less about them. See, okay.
I would rather, I'll make this easy for you so you can come to a quick decision. I would rather watch the Marvels than...
For shade and fruit reasons?
Well, because I hate Amber Heard.
Okay, fair enough. And she's still in the Aquaman 2 movie.
Yeah.
All right, I will go
Brie with Larson's a All bitch. Right. She never ruined anyone's life.
That's true. She's just, exactly. No, she's way less bad than Amber Heard.
Yeah, not even close. She's just intolerable. She's not a horrible
human. She's a thousand other chicks I've met in real life. Amber Heard hopefully is not.
Yeah.
But okay, so yeah, that did make it easy. So Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom last, then Marvels, but it's damn close. Then I guess Blue Beetle after that, and then so I'm still more excited for Guardians than almost any other movie, because I know it's at a base level, I know it's going to be fine. If nothing else, I probably won't be offended. The problem is all the direct that Marvel has put out in the last 2 years has made me not care about a movie I would otherwise be thrilled about. I mean, imagine if they had just been nailing Phase 4 left and right, I'd probably be like, sweet, let's keep going. And instead, I'm just kind of like,
it's not us. It's not the consumer's fault. It's their fault.
I don't believe it's my fault at all.
Yeah, it's not. It's their fault.
It's the oversaturation of everything. And, you know, there's a lot of things people saying, you know, there's an oversaturation of superhero movies. And that's like, and I've kind of implied this as well, but I don't know if it's an oversaturation of superhero movies, because, for example, even my wife wants to go see The Flash. It's an oversaturation of shitty superhero movies, of just uninspired, putting clothes on Salma Hayek type movies that just don't need to happen.
Unforgivable.
At some point, it's like Marvel went from creating good stories to creating content. in just amounts of content, but it seems like it is catching up with them, as you can see from the billions of losses of Disney, and Disney Plus especially is basically just, it's just bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and bleeding.
So. I looked at the last time I logged into my Disney Plus account, and it was over a month ago, because I watched the first four episodes of The Mandalorian, and then when I saw that they were bringing in Lizzo, I was like, I'm done.
What? Lizzo's on The Mandalorian?
Oh, Lizzo and Jack Black.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not joking.
I still intend to take a day and just watch the whole season, just to, you know, for the fans.
Just to subject yourself to that. I mean, what does it say? And this is kind of related, but think about it. Super Mario Brothers has been out for one full month, and every weekend it is still the number one movie worldwide.
Because it hits with my generation, and I liked it. I know you did a review on the Patreon, but just a brief public review. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was fun. Like, it's a Super Mario Brothers movie.
You know what? We're doing a live pop. I'll briefly tell you my only issue. It was not woke. It was not, you know, anything like that. But the one thing that kind of, even my wife was like, what the fuck? Like, that's not the story. In Mario, his whole thing is saving the princess. Here they made it where the princess doesn't need saving. In fact, the princess is like powerful as fuck, and she's the one that's got to teach Mario how to be good at jumping and doing all this other stuff. And I got a lot of Rey vibes from the princess. Like, there's no journey for her. She was awesome. She had power. Mario helped her beat the, you know, no spoiler alert. Mario helps her win the day or what have you. But I felt like they really went out of their way to not at all make her a damsel in distress, which is actually the entire plot of Mario. So that other than that, I did enjoy it as well. And they just nailed like a lot of the nostalgia. And like, it is, there's a lot of like, if you've been playing Mario for 30 years, you got everything. And if you haven't, there's probably little things you didn't get here and there. So it serviced fans well, both young and old, but that just bothered me just a little bit.
You know, it's funny, total side note. I sold my PlayStation a couple months ago. Because in Joe Biden's economy, a PlayStation can buy a full load of groceries, but I still want to play. This got so political. I'm sorry. If you're going to pump gas in your car and you think this is fine, we know who you voted for.
It's not that bad in Costco just outside of Tampa. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but like 3 years ago, you say that gas is above $3 and people are still like, damn, are you in the city? I pay $3.14 for regular unleaded at Costco on Saturday outside Milwaukee, and I'm still thinking, damn, like a few years ago it was like $1.50. But
when I left Los Angeles, like literally I filled up my tank before I drove my car across the country. I filled up at $7 a gallon. And by the time I got to Florida, it was like $3.60. Now it's almost at $3, but it was like $3.60. I watched it just fall as I drove across the country, as I thought to myself, I'm making the right moves.
Talk about
seeing it go down.
Talk about escaping Bowser's evil kingdom.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I bought this thing that I saw an ad for on Instagram. It's called a nostalgia stick. Basically, it's a HDMI hard drive that you plug into your TV. It comes with two wireless PlayStation controllers, and you get 1500 old Atari and arcade, and you know, everything from like GameCube through PlayStation 1, all that era, Nintendo 64. You get like all those games, and it comes with like every Super Mario game.
Send me that link. I'm going to buy that.
I'll send you. It was only $50.
Yeah, I want that. That's exactly what I want. I want the thing that has every game from everything.
Yeah, because I can't keep up with games anymore. I can't do it. I just don't.
Maybe we should have our patrons buy us that, and then we can do reviews.
They've got Mortal Kombat like 1 through 3 on there. I saw this, and I'm like, that's all I need. That Street Fighter, Doom. I'm gonna play me some Doom.
Send me the link. I'm gonna buy that tonight. And
will do.
That's the rest of my summer. Screw work and podcasting. I'm over it. I'm over it, people.
With all that to say, what does it say that Super Mario Brothers is still one of the best performing, money wise, and best reviewed films of the year?
And it didn't try to do anything crazy and over the top. It just stuck to Mario, essentially.
Yeah. You know?
And here's the things you want to see in a Mario movie. We're going to put them there. What else do you want from us? Speaking of Jack Black, he's in that too.
Yeah.
But he's fine.
Do you have the Peaches song in your head?
No, I don't have the Peaches song in my head.
I've had that in my head since I saw that movie.
So
I'll sing it for patrons.
Man, talk about tangents. I would rather
talk about Super Mario Brothers than any of these movies, except right, Flash.
Do you agree with my ranking then?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And it's, you know, I think what you said a moment ago about Marvel putting out good movies versus now putting out content. You know, I think maybe it's at the point where, would you support like a total reboot of the MCU?
No, I don't want to go through all this again. No, I would rather they do a more focused wind down and just do like a movie or two a year, maybe in the same universe, but not necessarily trying to do this grand multiverse crossover. Everything is connected. Cause I think at one point it was a draw for fans, but I think at this point it's gone too far. And now it's at the point where new fans just want nothing to do with it. Cause it's just way too much. I've heard this a lot from anybody that wants, they're like, there's 30 movies I got to watch now. All the like, and it's just too much to feel like you have to keep up with. So I think that if anything, I'd rather just see them pare it down more and maybe just, you know, maybe 1 year you just have like a Daredevil show and some movie and then that's it. And, you know, maybe
I would go a step farther. I'd say just stop doing the TV shows. Mm-hmm. Just stop doing it. Like,
I mean, they are going to stop doing it. Maybe not altogether, but they're already, I look at half of these show delays as essentially cancellations, like, you know, pushing back Echo, pushing back, even Loki got pushed back. It's now they're just saying 2023. It used to be June 2023. Now they're just saying 2023. Now I'm sure Loki is probably one of the more popular shows on Disney Plus. I don't think that's one that's costing them, but I think just the amount of content that they produce that doesn't have a direct return, because you don't necessarily see, by putting a new Miss Marvel series out, you don't get necessarily new subscribers. In fact, they've been losing subscribers as this more and more content has come out. So they're pumping money into it and then getting less money. At some point, some executive, probably Bob Iger, is right now looking at all this and going, what are we doing here? This is where I am a businessman. You brought me back to right the ship. So more of this stuff is going to either get canceled or sort of pushed back to the point that we forget about it. And it essentially,
I'm going to make a prediction right now. And I want people to remember this moment.
Everybody, I think
that by 2026, Disney stops putting out new Star Wars content and we enter another Star Wars like blackout period for at least 5 years.
We could use it.
I think it's necessary. Because I saw the trailer for Ahsoka, and I'm going to watch it because I freaking love the Timothy Zane Thrawn. I'm watching it for Thrawn and for nobody else. I want to see Thrawn in Star Wars in live action. But after that, I mean, the Acolyte series, we don't even know if Rangers of the New Republic is a thing. They keep talking now that they're going to do a new trilogy, bringing back Rey. So it's going to be a post-sequel trilogy, and it's like nobody fucking wants that. Have you not lost enough money? I think they genuinely look at this instead of saying, you know, we're gonna take a pause or anything, they just stop. They just pause and they don't talk about it and they don't respond to people who are like, where's the new Star Wars stuff? I think Star Wars lives on in comic books, because the Star Wars comics that Marvel has been printing are still the best comics that Marvel is putting out. And that's been like that for over 6 years. So I see them continuing to do that. Why? Because the comics that are selling focus on the original trilogy. You know, Luke, Han, Leia, Darth Vader. Remember the High Republic, Mark? Remember how they were talking so much about the High Republic? It was going to be like 100 years or something before the prequel trilogy.
I don't remember. They
don't even fucking talk about that anymore.
That was supposed to be a Disney Plus show.
That was supposed to be a whole era of things. The High Republic era. Books, games, comics, TV shows. They hate the books because the books introduced a whole bunch of transgender characters. And they were just transgender Jedi. And everyone was just like, what does this have to do with anything? It was just fucking weird.
Transgender.
The Force is gender fluid. It's like it sucked. The books did not do well. They put out none of the TV shows, none of the games. The High Republic thing is basically
man,
now
you
just
are.
Ongoing
woman
comic
you
book.
Are. Cis male you are. Yes.
It's
very
just
oppressed.
Yeah, that was supposed to be their first big move after Star Wars Episode 9, and it fucking failed. I think they do that, and if they do that, they're gonna have to definitely try and consider doing that with the MCU, because they gotta like something has to give. They either have to stop to pause and reflect, or they just have to stop because they can't. How much lower can they dig themselves?
I mean, yeah, the thing is, I think the movies still make money, but it's like you said, it's the Disney Plus content that is just hemorrhaging them and probably harming the films as well. Because there's so much crap out there that it also
Disney's
lowers
not
the
even really.
Film.
I mean, Disney's not even really putting out movies anymore. Did you hear about the new Peter Pan and Wendy movie?
No, I didn't. That
yeah, it has Jude Law. Oh yeah, so this came out. It's a live action movie on Disney Plus. They put out a lot of movies. You know, they did a Cheaper by the Dozen reboot.
I didn't know that there was an original Cheaper by the Dozen. So
you never saw Cheaper by the Dozen with Steve Martin?
Oh, well, no. I mean, maybe I probably have if it's a Steve Martin movie, but it doesn't stand out in my mind.
They did that. They did a Home Alone sequel.
I know that. Actually, I mean, I hate to say it.
That was actually pretty good.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, like it was actually.
It wasn't Home Alone, but it wasn't that bad.
It was a good Christmas movie. I watched it. Anyway, like they
put out. It's not the worst Home Alone movie.
They put out more. No, Home Alone 3. That was shit. They put out more shit than they put good. Now they're like defaulting to Disney Plus of these things. The new Peter Pan Wendy movie has an Indian Peter Pan, and the Lost Boys are now just like, well, they're still the Lost Boys, but half of them are girls.
Classic. All right, so back.
They're just throwing shit out there. They're just
not
back
to the task at hand. We're done with Blue Beetle. There's another task at hand I'd like to touch on before we wind down this week, and then we'll get back to reviewing some comics next week. But there is a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but there was a whole video from Everything Always about it, and that's enough for me to think that there's a possibility it could be true that there's a potential casting of Galactus, who is rumored to be a part of the first Fantastic Four film.
I'm so happy you brought this up.
They are saying it could be Antonio Banderas as Galactus. Now, we talked about the rumor of Jason Segel as a thing and like 6 months ago, and we don't know if anything's come from that. So this could just be another nonsense thing that kind of comes across the wire, but the Jason Segel thing could still happen too. So who knows?
Could be.
But just what do you think of this? I'm calling him Antonio Galactaris myself. I'm trying. Obviously now, like, Galactus is going to have to be a somewhat animated character, but you know, he has a sort of human-esque face. So I do imagine if they're going to use, I think that if they're going to use Antonio Banderas or a quote unquote, like real actor, it's because they want to do scenes of flashing back to him, his origin as Galen, who is the only survivor of the previous iteration of the universe that then became Galactus, the devourer of worlds and what have you. So if we're probably going to see him, if this is true, as Antonio Banderas, like in a sense too. So that's all of it is just hilarious to me, especially if he's bald like Galactus.
I just,
cause that's a very funny visual to me.
I just honestly, like, I think this will be good.
I'm just picturing like a Zorro-esque Galactus.
Well, I'm trying to think of him as like, you know, Puss in Boots. I am Galactus. It's like, I think that'd be funny. Anything is better than the shit cloud from Fantastic Four 2 Rise of the Silver Surfer. I think giving him a personality, I mean, my only concern, and this is regardless of who is actually casted, are we going to see the big helmet and the purple costume?
Is this going to look like MODOK is my concern? Is this going to be a complete green screen comedy, just like garbage look? And I would have said probably not. They would respect Galactus more than that. But they didn't respect MODOK more than that. MODOK is kind of a badass character, and they just played him into a complete joke.
I think if they're going to make him the Fantastic Four's first villain, like every time Galactus was introduced in any continuity in Marvel, like he's always like the biggest fucking thing to ever happen. I mean, always. Any universe.
Yeah, he's
any
kind of a big deal. He eats entire planets.
And like he is like end game level shit. So I'm expecting that from this, especially if they're going to make him the first villain for the MCU's Fantastic Four. A week after you sent me that info on Antonio Galactus.
Galactaris.
Thank you. There are also heavy rumors now. When I say heavy, I mean now like the main entertainment magazines are talking about. This is not just from like, you know, all the Marvel Facebook groups. Adam Driver is Mr. Fantastic.
That is another rumor as well. I'm kind of over Adam Driver.
I think he's a good actor. I like him.
He's
in
a good
dramas.
Actor too. I'm just kind of over him. I've seen a little too much. And I don't know if I need any more. And
my thing
I
is like, why
if I need a pretentious Reed Richards like that?
Why can't Marvel, Disney just?
I want John Krasinski, man. Krasinski.
Yeah, like why is that such a hard thing for them just to admit?
He's not. It's not like he's that big of an A-lister. Like, no. Yeah, he's like famous, but it's not like you can't afford John Krasinski. I guess this is my point.
No, and he stopped doing Jack Ryan over at Amazon Prime. So it's like
he's probably sitting around waiting for a phone call about an Office reboot at this point. So I mean, yeah. I'm sure he's available.
Yeah, it's like that. Like you already put him in the costume. You already put him in Doctor Strange and Mom. Like, you know, just fucking lock it in. Put a ring on it, motherfuckers.
While we're talking Fantastic Four, there's also rumors that this is going to be so that it's already going to be a multiversal film, and that it's not going to be an origin story, and that they're and also that they're a version from like the 1960s. So I don't know what these are all just random sort of scattering rumors, but these are all part of the package that it's going to be a big movie, but it's going to involve the multiverse and it's not going to be an origin story. So I don't know how that all works. Like, I'm sure they will tell the origin in some way, shape or form, but it's not going to be an entire movie detailing the origin.
They need Ryan Coogler or somebody come fix this shit.
No, didn't he just try to make me cry for 3 hours with Black Panther 2?
Yeah, that wasn't right? His fault. That was.
Don't make him do movies anymore.
We have to blame Kevin Feige for some shit.
All right. Well, I'm not going to blame him for Black Panther 2. Well, I will partially blame. I will blame him for not just recasting the movie and doing the original movie. That's
what I am. So I am a fan of Antonio Galacteris.
Me too. Just because it seems ridiculous. It's either going to be done well because he is a good actor. So okay, or it's going to be over the top ridiculous. And that's my fear for this movie. As you know, I'm a big nostalgic for Fantastic Four. It was like the first book I fell in love with.
There you ride or die.
It's never been done well in TV or video form. The best it was done was John Krasinski as Reed Richards for 2 seconds. And even that.
And you've got to watch that unreleased 1991 Fantastic Four on YouTube.
Oh, boy. That might actually be the best version besides John Krasinski.
It is. That's the sad part.
My concern is that there's going to be 5 or 6 years ago, I'd be excited about this. Instead, I'm just kind of in fear after seeing Quantumania, after seeing some other movies where I'm like, are they going in the right direction with this? Now, I know the production quality will be there, at least, which is the problem with the other movies. I'm just not sure the care and love of the characters will be there. But I want to be positive. I always want to be positive. I'm going to go into this whole thing with an open mind, but I got to say it's more of a nervous excitement than an actual excitement at this point.
You watched Josh Trank's 2015 Fantastic Four?
I have seen it, yeah. I have
okay. seen it. Do you think it'll be better or worse than that?
It almost has to be better, right?
Yeah.
That's the really bad one. Like the first two are bad, the one with the Silver Surfer, then there's this other one that's even worse, I believe.
Yeah. That's honestly, the one looking with back, Jordan. Those first two Fantastic Four films compared to most of Phase 4 Marvel are actually pretty good.
It's a frightening thing.
That is a frightening thing.
And that's what scares me, because this is going to be what, Phase 6 Marvel? Are we just going down the trend here? I don't know. Am I going to have a Fantastic Four with fucking Adam Driver and Jason Segel and Mila Kunis is another rumor for Sue Storm?
Fuck, I don't want to see her anywhere near that. And then
they just bring us Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, because why not? Like,
why not?
And don't say anything about it. They just act like he's a totally different person.
Yeah, no, people are seeing things. If you're wrapped up on that, I got one last piece of news that nobody asked for.
Let's hear it.
Are you excited for Kraven the Hunter from Sony?
Excited, no, but open-minded, yes. Because again, it has these movies, these little Sony Spider-Verse movies, while none of them have shown it. The Venom films have been entertaining enough. They've been inoffensive.
And you slept through Morbius.
And I still haven't gotten through Morbius yet.
Morbius is the worst movie I have paid to see. South of the Josh Trank Fantastic Four.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
So, well, horrible. In that case, that probably doesn't give you a ton of hope for Kraven the Hunter.
No. I like Aaron Taylor Johnson as an actor, but you know, well, there is one good hope about it. Good thing to hope for. They did announce that it will be rated R. So this will be the first R-rated Spider-Man adjacent film, which is saying something, because the Venom films weren't even rated R.
No, they're PG-13.
Yeah, so this will be R, and they have already announced the villain will be Rhino. And I think it's safe to assume that Paul Giamatti will not be returning.
So Kraven the Hunter is going to be hunting Rhino instead of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All right, why not?
Okay. All
right. Send it straight to Netflix. Send it to the internet. I don't want to go to a theater for that, but I'd watch it. I'd watch it if I'm bored on a Wednesday.
Yeah. And that's it. The movie that nobody asked for is still acting like people are asking for it.
I feel like that's all of these films that they're developing. There's Kraven the Hunter. There's Black Cat, supposedly. That's going to be a film.
Oh, they killed that. They killed that.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I'm seeing, though.
Because it was going to be Black Cat and Silver Sable, and Norman Osborn was going to be the bad guy, and Scorpion was going to be another bad guy, and they killed it.
When even these studios,
it was basically Charlie's Angels.
Even the studio execs are starting to, like, Batman was killed after, Batgirl was killed after it was made. Now we're seeing other projects get killed. I think we're starting to see the effects of the oversaturation of, again, I don't think it's the oversaturation of superhero movies. It's the oversaturation of bad to mediocre superhero movies. If these were Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, no one's complaining about this stuff, you know? So that's what will remain the challenge for James Gunn's DCU. Can you get through this thing where people are sick of shitty movies? Can you A, draw them in the first place because of the malaise and around it? And then B, can you actually deliver really good movies again? Can you do that? Can you do that for us? That's what we shall see. That's what remains to be seen. You know, we've had mixed thoughts on the excitement around it, but I'm open-minded enough about it. You know, at least James Gunn is a comic book fan of some kind, which I can't say for most of the writers of Marvel on the Disney Plus shows. I mean, there's all these writers that literally they brag about how they don't read the comics.
We're looking at you, She-Hulk.
Oh yeah, it's really sad. So look, even if James Gunn is a fan of more Grant Morrison than I might like, and I like Grant Morrison, but too much can be too much. So I'm still, at least he is a comic fan, which we definitely can't say for the people working on all this Marvel stuff. So for that reason, I'm interested to see what he does.
His movies have never actively screamed, "I hate you."
Right, which you can't say for like a lot of Marvel stuff and even a lot of DC stuff. So that being said, Remso, I think we're done here.
That was a lot to cover.
Yes. But next week we will do reissued. Well, I'll save what we're going to talk about for next week because who knows? Maybe we'll change it. But we have some ideas in mind.
You're going to love it, folks.
Wrap us up, Remso.
Let's wrap this up. Remember, keep this going. Keep the show on the road at patreon.com/secondprintpod. We've got a new degenerate panel coming out. We've got bonus shows galore and more. And we are still, you know, supply chain shit can't get in the way. Nothing can get in the way. We're still sending out those awesome hardcover graphic novels to our $25 and up epic crossover level patrons. You can go ahead and also be awesome if you want to tell us what to do for an episode, like our producers, Jeffrey and Eric at the Infinity Gauntlet level, Kirby Club level. All that and more can be yours for the low, low price of $5 a month. That's less than Starbucks coffee at patreon.com/secondprintpod.
That being said, as always, we encourage you not just to read comics and change the world, but to not have to watch a bunch of stuff because we will do it for you and change the world.
One bad movie at a time. Good night, America.
Adios.